The Pier Marquette 1225 steam locomotive in Owosso is one of Mid-Michigan's cultural treasures. Children know it as the North Pole Express that makes short joyrides during the holiday season, but this magnificent machine once stood at the top of railroad technology, proudly serving America during World War II. Kevin P. Keefe is a journalist, author, and lifelong railroad buff. He's the author of the book 1225, The Life and Times of a Steam Locomotive. He's an MSU graduate who is back on campus tonight for a book signing at an open house sponsored by the MSU Archives to mark the locomotive's 75th anniversary. Kevin Keefe, welcome back to MSU. Welcome to Current State.
Nice to be here.
A lot of people in Mid-Michigan think about the Pier Marquette 1225 as the North Pole Express.
Right.
It's based in Owosso and still operates in the winter for these joy rides for families looking for an imaginative excursion. But take us back to the beginning. Where was the 1225 built? Why was it built?
Well, the 1225 was built by the Lima Locomotive Works, which was a big sprawling factory in Lima, Ohio, and they were one of the big three builders of steam locomotives back in the early part of the 20th century. And the 1225 was part of a group of a technology called superpower, which was a term that Lima invented to describe a new kind of steam engine that they really pioneered in the 1930s and into the 1940s. And the 1225 was a good example of the superpower concept. And so the Pier Marquette Railway, which of course ran throughout Lower Michigan, was looking for more modern power in the mid-1930s and through a variety of circumstances came upon this type of locomotive Lima was building and ordered 39 of them in three different occasions.
Hmm. Steam locomotives, I know, were first invented in the 1830s, but I'm led to believe it was quite a bit later before steam technology really reached its peak. What happened over all those years?
Well, certainly by World War I, steam locomotives had kind of reached their potential as they were designed at the time. They were getting really ponderous and heavy, and the clearances and the bridges and everything couldn't support increasingly larger, heavier, fatter locomotives. What Lima did, and the other two competitors, Baldwin and Alco to some extent, was design a new kind of approach to having the boiler produce more steam. That's really what it was all about. And so in the 1930s, these locomotives that could produce more steam could also produce exponentially more horsepower and speed. And that's what helped the railroads compete through the 30s and 40s and certainly made a big difference in the war effort at home.
The train was completed November 1941, about a month before the attack on Pearl Harbor. How quickly was it pressed into service?
Right away. I mean, it was the builder's photo that I have in my book is dated November 4th, and I believe the engine was in service within a couple of days. I believe it was delivered to the railroad the next day in Toledo. They didn't waste any time. Of course, the war hadn't quite started yet, but everyone was sort of gearing up for it, and that was especially true, you know, in the automobile business in Southeast Michigan, which was a really important customer for the Pier Marquette.
What did it haul?
Well, it hauled a lot of coal from Toledo up into the Detroit area for the places like the Rouge plant of the Ford Motor Company. It also hauled a lot of auto parts. It hauled a lot of raw materials used in various kind of manufacturing. And then, of course, in 1942, the War Production Board had a lot of companies in Michigan force them really to transition from commercial products to military products. So the 1225 and its various sister engines certainly had a hand in hauling all that kind of material as well.
We're talking about Michigan's most famous freight train, the Pier Marquette 1225, the steam locomotive, is based in Owosso and still runs today. Kevin Keefe is the author of the book 1225, The Life and Times of a Steam Locomotive, and he's speaking on the MSU campus tonight at an event sponsored by the MSU Archives. Are there any particularly memorable stories from PM 1225 service during World War II?
Well, no, it's really difficult to track that down because the Pier Marquette was a fairly big railroad, and I'm not aware of any records that really, you know, tell you much about what it did specifically. certainly the Pierre Marquette did its share, and you know, the American railroad system hauled just about every soldier there was to the either coast to go off to war. So the American railroad system certainly deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the victory over the Axis, and I think it's fair to say the Pierre Marquette engines did their share.
It's crossing my mind, my dad must have taken the Pierre Marquette to Fort Lewis, Washington to train before
Chicago, and then he would have changed and then moved on from there. Yeah,
he went
sure.
to Fort Lewis, Washington, and then trained in the Mojave Desert before being shipped off to the South Pacific. Now, the PM-1225 operated for only 10 years.
Right.
It was retired in 1951, which
yes.
already seems like a long, long time ago. Why such a relatively short run?
Well, it's a complicated story. Certainly, the diesel locomotive had showed up in the late 1930s and was already starting to show the railroad industry that steam was going to be obsolete. But then the war happened, which interrupted a lot of the development of diesel locomotives. So the steam locomotive builders had a reprieve, if you will, because of the war. They kept on building steam engines. Once the war was over, though, the diesel builders, particularly General Motors, had a free hand to really, you know, push this new technology. And the economics of the diesel was pretty apparent fairly quickly by the late 1940s.
So in 1951, the train is sitting in New Buffalo, Michigan,
yeah.
not too far from the Indiana steel mills, not too far from where you grew up, coincidentally.
In Niles, Michigan,
in
yes.
In Niles. And it had served these steel mills so many times. Then there's this, there is a legendary golf game that figures into the story of the PM-1225.
Why does the 1225 even exist? Because, you know, 95%, 98% of the locomotives in that era were all cut up and turned into dinette tables and paper clips, as we like to say. But the story goes, and it's in the book, that Forrest Akers, a big benefactor from Michigan State, was having a golf game one day with Cyrus Eaton, who was the chairman of Chesapeake and Ohio Railway, which had taken over the Pierre Marquette. And on the golf course, Cyrus was going on about how what a shame it was to keep cutting up all these steam engines. He wishes he could give them to various places. And I believe what Forrest Akers said to him was, well, how about Michigan State? So these two very wealthy, powerful guys kind of conspired to give the locomotive to MSU. And later on, Akers presumably would have approached John Hanna, president of the university, and said, guess what I've got for you? And I'm sure Hannah wasn't entirely thrilled to hear the news.
I imagine a lot of our...
But what do you say to a big benefactor?
I imagine a lot of our younger listeners may not realize Forrest Akers was a person. It's more than just a nice name for a golf course.
Yes, he was a high-ranking executive at Chrysler.
Yeah.
And grew up in Williamston, as a matter of fact.
And the namesake of Akers Hall,
yeah.
I imagine. At first, I understand President Hanna didn't want the locomotive. Why was that?
Well, I don't believe he wanted it. He was quoted somewhere as saying, put it somewhere and give it minimum maintenance. Because this sort of it's a huge thing. I mean, it's 400 tons and it's, you know, it just sits there. And it wasn't exactly the sort of thing Michigan State wanted on its very manicured, beautiful campus. But Hanna, you know, put up with it because of Akers, and they put the engine on display over on a section of Stadium Road that's now gone. It's over next to the Spartans football practice facility. And that was dedicated in June 57 is when they brought the engine to campus.
And it spent about 10 years on the campus. And we know that author Chris Van Allsburg was inspired by the train to write the Polar Express. Have you looked into how the actual train actually became, using your imagination, of course, how did it become the Polar Express?
Well, I believe that Van Allsburg fell in love with steam engines partly because as a kid he climbed all over the 1225 when he and his father would come to campus. I don't know that it went much farther than that, although certainly the numbers 1225 maybe had a subconscious influence on him, December 25th. How it became part of the movie, The Polar Express, I think is more related to the people in the Hollywood studios at Castle Rock Entertainment. They were looking for an engine to use as a digital model for their animated movie, and somehow somebody found out about this locomotive in Michigan that was numbered 1225, and it just seemed too good to be true.
The Pierre Marquette turned 75 years old this year. I understand there are some festivities planned to mark the occasion. Besides, you're here tonight to talk about the book.
Right.
But what else is happening?
Well, on November 5th, next a week from Saturday, the owners of the locomotive, now the Steam Railroading Institute in Owosso, which is a wonderful museum in downtown Owosso, they own and operate the 1225. And on Saturday, November 5th, I don't have all the details, but I know they're going to be running a trip to Clare with the 1225, a passenger train. And I understand the tickets are already sold out. Mm-hmm. But certainly the Steam Railroading Institute is very proud of this major artifact. It's their number one artifact in their collection. And it just so happens that it turns 75 that day. And so they're going to have a big celebration. Mm-hmm. And they're going to run the engine up to Clare, 40, 50 miles. It'll be quite a spectacle.
Big fun. We've been talking about the Pier Marquette 1225, arguably the most famous steam locomotive train in Michigan. You can still see it in Owosso, where it operates in November and December as the North Pole Express. Kevin Keefe is the author of the book 1225, The Life and Times of a Steam Locomotive. He's speaking at Conrad Hall on the MSU campus this afternoon at 5 o'clock at an open house sponsored by the MSU Archives. Kevin Keefe, thanks for joining us today.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Mark.